The Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kovi and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on iRock Space Radio.
Hello, space enthusiasts. Welcome to another episode of the Space Case Sarah Show. Blip, 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 blip. I can talk. Space Case Sarah Show here on iRock Space Radio. Welcome back. We are on our 18th episode.
Lucky
we're adults. 18. Oh my God, we grew up.
Mazel tov.
Not in America.
Not in America, yeah. of course, I am joined by my co-hosts, the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, and we are very excited to present to you the, remind me, what element?
Element?
Argon.
Argon.
I was going to say the element of surprise, but argon.
We could do that too. The element of whatever it is that you choose for it to be. Argon, which we have decided in theme of that is going to be like the slow science. The slow, because argon is slow. Let's jump right into it. Can someone enlighten me again, because I have the memory of a goldfish, why this is the slow episode and what we should know about argon? So, Kavi.
So, the reason...
No, the reason that we are talking about slow science and lazy science today is that argon comes from the ancient Greek argos, which was the name that was given. argos means lazy or inactive. And that was the name that was given to argon because argon is inert. It's a noble gas and it doesn't react. It's non-reactive.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty boring for an 18th birthday, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, in the United States, you can't drink at 18, but you can enlist in the military. So that lines up. But
it balances out. It all balances out.
Right, exactly. what's something interesting we should know about argon other than it's a noble gas?
I think what's really wild is that it took us so long to actually discover it. I mean, argon is relatively, quite abundant in the atmosphere. It makes up like 1% of our atmosphere. When we think of our atmosphere and our air, we always think of nitrogen and oxygen, right? But argon is a full 1% of the air. And it's just that it was actually through that we discovered it, because basically... I think Henry Cavendish, this British 19th or 18th century, crap, I'm forgetting, chemist, was distilling nitrogen, extracting nitrogen from air and then extracting nitrogen from ammonia, I believe. And the density of what he was left with was different in both cases. And it was like, okay, there must be something extra here that I'm not seeing, that's not reacting. And that was argon. And there's like no biological purpose for it. It doesn't, like, we don't use it in our bodies. We don't use it, you know, naturally. It's just there.
So it's
just chilling.
It's useless and slow. It's
useless. Yes.
Useless.
Called the useless science episode.
Useless science. Well, good to know that is the reason why we are going to talk about useless science. And of course, we'll tie as much space into this as possible. Benjamino, what hath you brought it to the table tonight, today, tomorrow, whatever, today, whatever, wherever you are in the world. Today.
This is our Argon episode, our 18th episode, which should, in theory, air December 17th. So happy birthday to Kavi, Australian astronaut Andy Thomas.
Andy,
veteran of 4 shuttle flights. He went to both the Mir and ISS space stations, and he's been in space for 177 days total. And happy scientist birthday to Emily du Châtelet. Ooh. In the 1700s, she was a French mathematician and physicist. And because she was lucky that she was born into a wealthy family, She was given an education, private tutors, and she even went so far as to dress up as a man just so she can go into places where science was discussed.
I mean, I was already on board with her name, Châtelet, but like...
Châtelet,
but that's even better. And Kavi, are you and Andy on like a first name basis? You know?
No, I've never met the guy.
You're like, Andy!
But Australians are congenial.
Australians, they all know each other.
Yeah, yeah, it's Andy. It's a small made-up country, so we all know each other.
Yes. It doesn't exist because you're on the other side of that flat earth and you're not real. No, speaking of it's a small world though. I have been working on this, you know, museum exhibit that is going to be premiering tomorrow, and like one of the maintenance, like janitor people are in there and he's talking and blah blah blah, blah. And then he drops he's like, oh, my son works for Geneva Lakes Astrophysics and STEAM, which is an organization that I volunteered for. And I'm super close with them. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, my son's Adam. And I'm like, shut the front door. So if he's listening, hi, Adam. Like, I cannot believe how small the world seems sometimes when you're just, he came in to like help me like figure out where the fuse box was, and then it's like this person that I know. So it is a small world. I wouldn't be surprised if you do know Andy.
But did you find the fuse box?
You know what? The fuse box, it was very difficult to find. It was in the kitchen. Who would have thought a fuse box Andy would be in the kitchen?
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
It was Adam, the fuse box was discovered.
I was thinking, Benjamin, when you were mentioning how De Chatelier was able to, you know, learn all these things.
Your pronunciation of De
Chatelier. I know, right? 2 years of French in school is not completely useless.
Okay, go ahead.
Mostly useless. Omelette du fromage. Yes, but I feel like most of the science, like I mentioned before, Cavendish, and we spoke, you know, in previous episodes about all of these chemists and physicists in the 17th and 18th centuries and 19th centuries, generally speaking, they were people who came from very wealthy families because that was like kind of the only way that you could have access. Firstly, you need to have like a knowledge of multiple languages because these textbooks were written not only in English, but in French and Italian and in Latin. You know, in the case of Newton's writings, like his Principia. And then you need to also have the time to just sit around and read books and do experiments and think. It's I love how science nowadays has become something that's a lot more accessible. And you know,
speaking
part
of Newton's Principia, Emily Du, however you pronounce it, Châtelet, she was the first one to translate Principia into French.
There you go.
That was her big contribution. So you are on the money.
Well, what has she done for me lately?
No, you're so spot on though, Kavi. I mean, not just for men or women, like, not, you know, women obviously had even more of a disadvantage, but yeah, it was very much in the past, it was for the elite to have a science education. And then before that, for even the ability to read and write. So I honestly, it's amazing how much we've progressed as a species in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And actually your story of her also reminds me of Caroline Herschel, who was, Herschel's sister. What is his first name? I just know Mr. Herschel. Herschel. But, she was as prominent and very, good of an astronomer. Just she preferred to stay behind the scenes, but so much of her brother's work she helped with. And that was because her family was very, they were like, yeah, we want to make sure that our kids have an education. And there's so many amazing stories like that through history, that it, you know, it just, it's really cool. So, so in terms of our advancement, we're not very Argon like, we're not very slow science when it comes to our discoveries, but but so there lazy. Are a lot of things in science that are very slow, very slow. I think because I'm working on this museum exhibit, which for our listeners who probably, you know, are the same consistent 10 people, what's up? The museum exhibit I'm working on is for the Joides Resolution, which is a ocean core drilling research ship. And so this is right in line with the slow science and like basically what that ship researches, which is plate tectonic movements, which is incredibly, incredibly slow. So that's my contribution right now, right out of the starting gate, because this is basically consuming my life at this point right now. But how many centimeters? It's like centimeters per year.
Freedom per eagle.
Yeah, it's
actually know. Do you know which the fastest tectonic plate is currently?
Oh, what?
I looked them up. I had to know which one was the fastest and which one was the slowest. So the fastest tectonic plate is the Pacific plate.
Really?
Which moves at a blistering 10 centimeters a year.
Oh, whew. Watch and out.
The slowest tectonic plate is the North American plate, which some parts moves 4 centimeters a year, but in most of it moves 1 centimeter a year.
Wow.
So slow. I remember the first time I heard about, you know, the fault line, the plate line in California, you know, basically is moving in different directions, like right along California. And then eventually like Los Angeles and San Francisco are going to like pass by each other. But it like the amount of time it's going to take is like, I don't even know if Earth will be around anymore at that point. But, you know, we can wave. You got a lot of time to prep your wave in passing for those plates to slide by each other.
Just when that Hollywood Walk of Fame finally gets too crowded, a long slide, yeah, a new city, just fill it up some more.
It's really cool to think about the massive amount of time scale that Earth's history has, though, because we all know about Pangaea, right? That's the big, everyone knows Pangaea, but there were actually other massive supercontinents before Pangaea. And that was just one of the biggest and the most famous versions, but there was another one before that. There's so much Earth history that sometimes it's like, I feel like a bad science communicator, but you can't remember everything. There's so many like epochs and, you know, like, like time is so huge.
You know, what's wild is to think that solar eclipses, total solar eclipses, are probably happening all the damn time. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. The moon now is drifting away from the Earth, right? It's drifting away at, I think, like 3 or maybe 4 centimeters each year.
Yes, tiny, so eventually, tiny amount, but yeah.
Right, so like the whole reason that, you know, we can see a total solar eclipse perfectly is that the moon is 300 times smaller, but also 300 times 300 times smaller, but 300 times closer to Earth than the sun is. And so as it drifts further away, it'll appear smaller in the sky, so it'll cover less of the sun. But back in the day, which was a Tuesday, it used to be a lot bigger as it was closer. It would appear a lot bigger. Yeah. Every time you have, like, there wouldn't really be partial solar eclipses. Like, everyone would be a full-on total eclipse, and it would just be like, oh.
and the single-celled organisms alive at that time were like, oh my God! Oh, we're fine. All right, we're going to take our first break.
Here we go again.
We're going to take our first break. This is the Space Case Sarah Show. You are either listening on iRock Space Radio, or you might be catching this episode after the fact on our website, which is super exciting. But either way, you can listen to episodes on our website, irockspaceradio.com. You can follow all of us on social media. I'm Space Case Sarah. We got Kavi of Fun Fact Science and Benjamin of Science Actually or Actually Science, depending on the platform. They're both crouching over their computers, waiting to play the game that we have been playing since the beginning of starting this show, which is who gets back to the green room first. So they're like, he's chomping at the bit. I gotta hit stop and then new recording. Pipe down. Burn. It'll be fine. You still can go to our website and sign up for a crew club and get a free t-shirt. So make sure you go do that. We have a merch shop to get some hats. And there's other shows. So go check them out. Okay. All right. God, you guys are making me feel like, okay. Woo. Woo. These guys are excited. We're the Space Case Sarah Show. We're going to take a quick break and return with the Argon episode here on iRock Space Radio. Oh my gosh, this is like, whew, It's a lot of pressure right now. Pachoo! Yeah.